Greetings, friends, and welcome to another broadcast of Bible Studies, Ken Baird speaking. Today on the broadcast, we're going to begin a new series of studies which we are going to entitle The Return of Christ. Christ is coming back to this earth. This earth is in line for one of the greatest surprises that it ever has received. Christ is returning to this earth. We want to take up this study in five broadcasts, and we will entitle them, and we'll go through the titles now. There's a bit of alliteration here. The Promise of Christ's Return, The Purpose of Christ's Return, The Prospect of Christ's Return, The Plea for Christ's Return, and The Power of Christ's Return. Now, in the course of these studies, we're going to talk about his two returns to the earth. One of the returns of our Lord Jesus Christ is not going to be clear to the earth, just to the air above us. That is his secret return to rapture away his church. But then the second return is when he comes to begin his millennial reign as king, and that will be in glory. Now, we want to consider these, both of these subjects. Ordinarily, we're so selfish that in our expectations of the return of Christ, we're thinking of the church. But we're going to go farther than that in this series of broadcasts. We're going to consider both his coming for his church and his coming to sit upon the throne. We will emphasize particularly his coming for the church. Now, we want to consider that the promise of Christ's return was indeed carried out in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And I think that probably the most wonderful promise of all was made by our Lord Jesus Christ in the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. And if you have your Bible near at hand, you may wish to turn to John chapter 14. In this chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ knows, and this his message to his disciples on this occasion was on the eve of his crucifixion. He knew that in a short time he was leaving them, and he wanted to prepare them for the shock. He wanted to equip them. He wanted to comfort them ahead of time. They couldn't seem to grasp the fact that this their Lord was going to be on a cross, even though he told them repeatedly that he was going to Jerusalem and be crucified and after 3 days would rise again. Yet they did not seem to grasp it. They were in utter despair at his crucifixion. They did not expect him to come back. They were surprised when the tomb was empty. They somehow didn't catch it. But the Lord, nevertheless, is going to comfort his disciples in this passage of Scripture. I think it's one of the most loved passages of Scripture in the Bible. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now the Lord Jesus tells his disciples plainly, I'm going away, but I'm coming back. And that is a promise. This is the most important promise of all of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ in developing our subject today, which is the promise of Christ's return. Now, later in that chapter, the Lord gives them further cause for comfort. He says in verse 16, And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, capital C, that he may abide with you, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. Yet a little while, and the world shall see me no more, but ye shall see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Now, he speaks of the coming again of the Lord Jesus, or of the Spirit of God. The Lord Jesus speaks of the coming of the Spirit of God as a means of comfort to them. And he says in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. And he calls the Spirit of God a comforter. I will come to you. Now, this word comfortless is an interesting word. In the Greek, the word is indeed orphanos. Orphanos means, in the Strong's unabridged concordance, it means comfortless, and it means bereaved, parentless, comfortless, and fatherless. And they were to be left alone. Now he says, you're not going to be left alone. I'm sending my Spirit, and he's going to be with you. And he will take over my comfort, my ministry of comforting you. And the Spirit of God is in the world today, comforting the church. Now we go on in our study to Acts chapter 1, where we get another promise of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And another source. All right, we read in the first chapter of the book of Acts, beginning with verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? The Lord had not yet ascended. We'll read it later in the chapter where he had ascended. And so they asked him, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now this is the promise of the angels. They said, he is coming back. You're acting, the angel said to these disciples, you're acting like you're never going to see him again. He's coming back. And we read it there, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, he's not going to change. He doesn't need to. Which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go up. All right? He went up visibly. He's coming back visibly. This is to the church. This is to his disciples. This is not to establish the kingdom. He will come in glory to establish the kingdom, and we'll be reading about that in a few moments. But he says he's coming back to receive you to himself. Now, this is another basic reason why we can say that Christ is coming back for his church, and it's a comfort. And he is the comforter, and that was his ministry, and he's still comforting. Now, in Matthew chapter 24, we read of his coming back to the earth. His first coming back is simply to the air. We're going to be raptured up. The people in the church of God are going to be raptured up to meet the Lord in the air. But he's coming back to earth. Now in that day, there are going to many people claim to be the Christ. But the Lord says, they are not the Christ, and you will know when I'm coming. He says, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. He says, I'm going to come in such a way that you'll see me. Listen, for the lightning, as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And then he goes on immediately down to verse 30. And there shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall the tribes of the earth mourn when they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. and they shall gather together his elect in the four, from the four winds, even from one end of heaven to the other. Now, when he comes back to earth, he's coming in all the glory of the clouds. Now, he went up in a cloud. He's coming back in a cloud. He went up personally, physically, and he's coming back personally, just like the angel said there in the first chapter of Acts. This same Jesus shall so come in like manner. Now, the clouds here, I don't believe are natural clouds. I believe they are the clouds of the Shekinah glory. Now, in the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul gives the third promise of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read there, verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope." Those Thessalonians were losing their loved ones, and they thought they had missed the coming of the Lord. Paul says, "Oh no. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." He's coming again. And Paul says that by the word of the Lord. He's going to come. And we read in verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." He's not coming to earth for the church. He's just coming to the air. "So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Now, this is the comfort of Paul speaking through the Spirit of God. God gave him a revelation. And we read that Christ is coming to rapture away the church. And we will be caught up with him in the clouds in the air. This is the word of comfort. And when he says to these Thessalonians, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words," this is their comfort. The same one that's coming, "The dead in Christ shall rise first." Your loved ones, which you thought you had said goodbye to, they're going to rise first. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now you notice the words "with them" and "with the Lord." This is going to be the grandest reunion. Here is the third promise. And threefold cord is not soon broken. We read in Ecclesiastes 4:12, "And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken." This is a threefold promise by the Lord, by the angels, and by the Apostle Paul that he's coming back. Are we ready for his return? Our Father, today we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus for these precious promises. And we pray during the course of this series of studies on the return of Christ that you will quicken our conscience and our hearts to expect that return. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.